Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirm Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirm and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirm.
Big and Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy podcast. This is Big, and we got a very special service for y'all. Early access.
Buymeacoffee.com/confirmed.
$5 will get you early access to the episode next day.
And $8 will get you exclusive content as well as early access to the episode. So if you don't want to miss any of the good stuff that we've got going on, then please subscribe to us at buymeacoffee.com/confirmed. Bye.
You're listening to Confirm.
Yeah. Turn it up. We got here. We got a. Yeah.
I'm on the get back. I got a zip wrap. 28 the whole summer. I got my shit peeled back.
Marathon done. Get a lower number. Just talk your shit, man.
Leave the nest and come back with chow. I had to run laps. Just the thought of falling off make you never want fumble. I grew up on Big and Pac. I feel away when they mumble. These niggas
pull a
sucker moves in the same sense. Get their karma.
Niggas ain't slick. They wear a ski and ride around with they mama.
I load it up inside the trunk. That's when I get in my thoughts.
Like how I might just flood the bezel once I get this shit off.
But by the time it's gone, I'm going crazy trying to get more. Pay my little cuz to cut it up and get them packs off the floor. That's 30 racks at the door. No attitudes in the spot. Put straight up drop in the pot. Until my pockets got.
Big and Lazy podcast, man. We back
again.
Song of the day.
Hold on. Why'd you choose that song for song of the day and you're not a rapper?
You referring to me, right?
Yes, sir. Before we introduced you.
Well, because you said we had to do local artists.
Right.
So I said, look, he was either Marathon. We can't do ESTG no more.
Yeah.
So I was going to think either him. And I like a couple of songs that Mike Bombada got.
Okay.
I had to think. I ain't really know the name of his songs. Mine. Right. So I said, okay, this is a really good song that I
That's
think.
That's
Steve. I didn't think this song got enough push for how like it is. Like, you know, the video, the song, the verbiage, the lyrics, the hook, the feature, all that was.
You said as who?
Marathon Dom, Lil Domo, everybody know him in the city.
Okay, okay.
It's the feature of Starlito, man. Shot the video on Pinway.
Shout out to Starlito. Shout out to Dom. Go ahead, B-Fans.
He shot the Starlito video on Pinway?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That was my barbershop there for a second, man. Yeah. Right there at the corner. He said, go ahead, B-Fans, what? Introduce my mans.
Yep. Do you know, I know I kind of threw us off, but I just wanted to know.
Man, special guest, man. This is the most distinguished guest we didn't have, man. This is, I think he got like 300,000 followers on the ground, man. He got his own thing going.
Yes, he do.
Come on, man. Mark Muhammad, man. Welcome aboard, man. Thanks for coming and blessing us with your presence, man.
Thanks for blessing us, my brother.
Could you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, man? What you do for a living? Like,
Man, you know, initially, financially, like what I normally do, I'm an insurance broker. So I run an insurance firm. Which is one of the greatest ways to create passive income, which will set you up for true freedom to do any and everything else that you want. The second thing that I do is I have a few properties, which is real estate. So I do that. I have a few houses, and I'm planning on getting a few more this year and possibly getting some apartment buildings between now and next year. Of course, when you do that, you got to have partners and stuff like that. That outside of that, man, father, you know, I teach freedom, justice, and equality through the Nation of Islam. I'm starting to teach finances and credit building. I'm not a credit repair. I'm just telling you what to do, how to build your credit.
Yes.
So, you know, that right there and traveling, man, living life, brother, you know, that's just what it is. We got one life, one opportunity, and I'm just taking advantage of it all. You know what I'm saying? So
what do you think? I heard you say that you got real estate and stuff like that. What do you think we can do as a people to turn our people on to these things? Because it's fairly easy.
Right.
You know, because I talk to you all the time, you know, but what do you think in the community? Is it just the information or is it opportunity?
Man. It's really just both, and the lack of the lack of education, but where it really stems at is understanding the why. Why is it that you don't know basic information?
Right.
So when you go back in time, and I ain't trying to jump down slavery, but when slavery ended, they said the slave master said there's three things we're not going to teach the Negro. That's the science of mating, the science of business, and the science of warfare. So if you look at the wealth gap between Caucasians and Black Americans, you would see there's a big ass, a very large wealth gap. Why? It seems like they know more. Mm-hmm. And it's really just a small selective few Caucasians that just know more. They kept vital information from us. So when you go to people and you introduce that to them, for the past 120, 130, 200 years, your parent, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and great-grandparents didn't know because a selective group of people decided to keep specific information away from them so to make it impossible for you to flourish in the future.
Right.
Now that that information is present, the question is, what you going to do?
Mm-hmm. What are we going to do to catch up? Like like I say all the time, like it was a trap, but it ain't no trap no more that we know now. We know the laws is messed up. We know about redlining. Mm-hmm. Like you say, the wealth gap, I go back to them houses that other races bought back in the 60s and 50s for $5,000, $10,000. They worth $500,000 now.
$500,000.
That's a quick hack to wealth. Property. You got to own something. Have you some earth, a plot of land or something like.
Mm-hmm. Especially for generational.
Yeah, like a lot of people still eating from slave money. That
right.
Wells Fargo, where else are you? In 1865, you can get somewhere some money that start a bank up. Like a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And they got that head start. Like, so what would you say is like we behind the ball, but we got the information. Like so somebody watching right now that want to get into real estate, like what the proper steps would be?
Man, you know, first things first, I would just say find out what you really want to do because there's different forms of real estate. If you want to do the apartment complexes, get some houses, some single homes. If you want to get involved with land, and even if you want to get involved with gold, that's a form of real estate as well. So you have to see exactly what you want to do. But since I believe we're talking about housing and things like that, individually, if it's not a group of you all, let's just say if it's just an individual, the easiest way is to go ahead and just get your credit right. Go ahead. Let's just say you're young. Get your credit right. Get some history on there. You can go open up a few credit builder loans from the bank, which you're not really losing no money. Become an authorized user on someone else's credit. Get those derogatory marks, those collections off your credit report as well. Along with that, you got to get some credit history. You got trade lines, you got business trade lines, and then also that you have like kickoff, start off, and things like that. Go ahead and get that personal stuff established first. Then, once you go ahead and get your business, or not then, but at the same time, go ahead and get your business going. Because therefore, you can get something on the personal and on the business side.
Add business credits, mean that's nice, right?
Yeah, that
business
credit. You know,
it's all information.
Last week, I just got approved for, let's see. I got $7,500 from Home Depot in my business name, $7,000 in my other business, and $3,000 on that same business all in 1 week.
Oh, really?
Damn.
Within 2 weeks, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The last 2 weeks. And I got something else, too. Oh, another $3,000 on another Home Depot car. I forgot about that one.
Let me ask you a question.
That's all in 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? By just simply educating, applying certain mechanics and just sticking to the script and being patient, man.
Why don't you think they teach this shit in school? They don't teach this shit in school.
The reason why, you got to think, America is not a country. It's a corporation.
Mm. It's a business.
So if it's a corporation, that means it's a business.
It's a business.
So that means you have to have workers in order to keep that corporation alive. If you have no workers, you have no company.
Right.
So what are they doing with 350 million people for the first 18 years of their life? They're keeping certain informations away from them, making more, let's just say, exquisite information or education too expensive. $65,000 a year just to read 4 or 5 books?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. That's ridiculous. But they're keeping that information away from these people and making their mind conditioned and institutionalized and designed just to go work for a company or a corporation. They're going to give you some thousands. But yeah, they're making billions.
Right.
What's your dream job? They teach you at. They taught us that in kindergarten. Yeah. What's your dream job? Yeah. Go to college.
They didn't say this is the American dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I always thought it was set up to be the best American you can be. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's why you say the Pledge of Allegiance as soon as this shit kick off, you know? Mm-hmm. That's like going to church and or going to the mosque and praying before you even worship. Mm-hmm. We say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then they teach us about...
That's almost cult behavior. Every morning you wake up.
Every morning you wake up.
You put your heart over your hand and everybody reach their head up and... No, nah, I'm serious. Yes. You don't think that's kind of... We look back at that. Do they still do that in school?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But I know we did that shit every morning.
And you got in trouble if you didn't do it. Like, yes.
You got a patriotic teacher, she going to be in your shit if you don't stand up. It's like taking a kneel.
But like you said, in school...
He said a kneel.
A kneel.
They didn't teach us about credit. They didn't teach us about you can make 50,000, 60,000. You can live good as a CDL driver, plumber, electrician, ACT. Apply for loans, the FAFSA, go to college. Mm-hmm. Like they just kind of felt, and I graduated, to put it in context, I graduated in 2008, mm-hmm. and to see, it wasn't none of that. It wasn't no trade school. It wasn't no alternative.
I'm going to tell you something, though. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, mm-hmm. that's all it was. Right. Even in the regular schools, there was some type of trade you can get. You know what I'm saying? Like Shawnee, you could have went downstairs and got your pallets license.
Right.
You feel me? Right. They had architect.
They had it at Wagner, didn't they?
Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? Shit that we could have graduated high school and with. The best school in the city, I think, with the programs, is for the women. But, which is good. Like, Central got the nursing shit.
They did, didn't they?
As soon as you graduate with credits to go get a job as a nurse, mm-hmm. you know, straight out of school. Why do you think, as males, it's not the same opportunities earlier? Mm. You're not giving. I feel like you're giving a select few. You can go to the league. You can be an entertainer, mm-hmm. but you also can go be an electrician. You know, you can be a motherfucking computer engineer. Mm-hmm. You know, shit like that. They don't put that shit into play until you got to go pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Man, you know, just what I think though, man. That's a simple war tactic though. You know, you remove the man or reverse the roles, but get the man out of the picture financially, which will ultimately make the woman want to feel more triumphant over the man. Mm. Then you come in with everything that you have and take over and get the woman. Like, that's where the term booty came from. You know, it's
really?
The capture of the woman, not just gold and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's why when we say a booty, we look at a woman's behind.
Yeah,
you know, but in truth, it's really the capture and the conquering of the woman, not gold and treasure. It's a war tactic.
Yeah.
That's why I said earlier, the science of business, the science of mating, and the science of warfare. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's just a war tactic, man. That's just what that's why, like, look at someone who's powerful or considered to be powerful. Bill Cosby. The first thing they try to do was strip him of the wealth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Look at R. Kelly. Like, R. Kelly should have... R. Kelly, keeping 100, he should have got out of jail.
Think so?
Why you think that, bro?
I'm going to tell you why. You wonder why they kept him in there?
Why is that?
Because of that money?
Because his catalog is worth $1 billion.
And if he get that, he the man.
And he has the rights to acquire for his catalog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because he wrote all the songs and so forth and so forth. He has the rights to do that. Now, the only way he can't do that or make it more difficult if he's out of the way.
Yeah.
So since we own R. Kelly,
and on top of that,
let
me finish this. And on top of that, they knew what R. Kelly was doing.
Okay.
Because he got off the first and second time.
Bro, that's my thing with R. Kelly.
That's where I was going at.
Producers. I was in the back room and I seen beds, six beds, and everybody, bro. And you was cool with it?
You walked out with a hit.
Yeah, you cool with it? Everybody saying he walked around with a bag of sex tape, and y'all didn't call the police. Y'all didn't walk away.
But that's why I asked him that, though. That's why I said, do you believe it? And you basically confirmed, yeah. But I agree with you.
Some of it I do.
But I agree with, shit, we always knew what this nigga was doing. He was back in the back of the video, Aaliyah's videos, and...
Bro, him and Aaliyah was on the couch in matching Mickey Mouse costumes.
Yeah.
He went too far with that, though.
Man. Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
He went too far with video and everything.
All that, though, man. But you got to think, though, bro, let's keep it all the way 100, though, man. Like, you know, when he even said when he was a little boy, his sister used to take advantage of him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People in his family.
Right.
And he couldn't read. You know what I'm saying? Which means he doesn't have the ability to when people can't read or it's very hard for them to read, they don't have vision. They right. can't. It's hard for them to look into the future. It's hard for them to use simple mathematics and understand what's going on. So a lot of times he was probably just going emotional, emotionally moving forward on that stuff. It seemed okay because it happened to him. And he did all right. You got to go into that type of mindset, though. Should he have done all that? Hell no. Nah. From a civilized point of view, he went too far with that. Yeah. But let's keep it all the way real. Me and you both know some dudes that's like 22 years old that took on like a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what
it's
I'm saying?
It's happening in the community.
It happens all the time. It happens all the time. I'm just saying he just went too far.
He did.
Yeah.
And some of them women, I think they over-exaggerated.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody on the show should have been locked up.
But it was socially accepted.
I seen him do this.
I never watched
him.
I never watched him.
Lock that nigga. Shit. Lock her up.
Yeah. Are you talking about the associates?
Surviving R. Kelly.
The associates or the patients?
I took everybody on the show.
Everybody.
Listen, I took him to the McDonald's to lock his ass up. Yeah, he's an accessory. Yeah, I'm the one that brung the girls backstage. Him too.
You say that, bro. Like, I was a freshman, sophomore in high school. And females will say, "Oh yeah, my boyfriend is 23."
Yeah, you're
and
being raped.
And then nobody better add, like, "What
man,
the?"
Yeah.
I seen him dropping them off. I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, he's 22. He's in college." I'm like, "That's kind of wild." Like, you know,
one of the first girls I ever thought was just like a baddie. Had a boyfriend that was picking up from school, and she said that one time, and the nigga told her in class, "Bitch, you being raped." My boyfriend's 25. You think I'm fucking with some kids? Y'all kids to me.
Damn. Yeah, but how old was that girl? 16.
Well, it was freshman.
Yeah,
this nigga's like, coming. Shit's in your community. We worried about R. Kelly.
Right, right. And I'm just saying, all I'm saying is that just R. Kelly just went too far with it.
He did.
It was too, you know, what they're saying is true, locking them in the rooms, tying them up like hogs,
pissing
and all
on
that
them.
Stuff. Yeah, peeing on them. And I'm like, come on, man. Then on top of that, it's too many times of the same stuff, though, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Based off the documentary. So it's just like. Yeah. It's just like, nah, he just went too far with that, man. Because it's kind of common. And these young girls, 14, 15, 16 years old, they be knowing, man. They be lying about their age and stuff like that. Like, if you're 14 and you're the superstar, the dude of that time, he like, man, what's up?
And you didn't got in the club. You didn't get into a 21-year-old club.
And you 14. Yeah. You like, you ain't about to be like, oh, I'm 14. Nah, you going to be like, man, I'm like 17, turning 18. Well, especially if you got a body on you, a more mature body. So come on now.
Do you think a lot of young girls have done that before?
Yeah, bro. That happened to me one time, man. You know what I'm saying? This chick, you know, did all that stuff. Lied about all that. And I'm like, damn, shorty, why you?
Damn, she lied about her age, don't you?
Bro. Had a whole family at my house, bro. One
damn.
Day.
Damn, it was like that?
Yeah, bro, because her mom found out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That happened to my cousin.
So, like, but it's crazy, though. Like, what? My stepmom, my dad's wife.
Yeah.
She came outside. She was just like, because the girl's mom was like, so how do you know Keisha? I'm like, who's Keisha?
Yeah.
She was like, her right there, you don't know her? And I'm like, nah, I never seen her.
Uh-huh.
She's like, so how you and my daughter meet? I was like, man, we met on the internet.
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, because the girl told her mom that her aunt, Keisha, hooked us up. And I'm just like, I don't even know this woman. Like,
yeah.
But my stepmom was like, she was just saying, look, she just came outside and look, let's keep it all the way real. Back when I had the Cadillac, she was like, you know like I know. You know what I'm saying? When we was young. Now, my stepmom, like 48 at the time. You know what I'm saying? She's probably like 46 to be exact, 45. She said, she's talking to her mom, you know, like I know. When we was young, mind you, she's 46. This is 2010, bro, when this happened.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? She's 46. She said, when we was young, you know, like I know, when we see nice looking guys with nice looking cars, we boost up our age a little bit. You know, and her mom is sitting there like that, like, yeah, you know, yeah, we do that. And that's just what happened right here.
Damn.
You can't be mad at my boy for doing that.
Right.
You got to be mad at her. You know what I'm saying? Went on the list.
Right.
Now, mind you, this is in 2010. My stepmom's 45 years old or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Go back 30 years? That's what, 1985, whatever year it is?
She's probably a freak, Nate. No,
I'm just saying, that's just what been going on.
It's not
R. Kelly, though, because, you know, chicks be doing that. You
all
know
them
what
niggas
I'm
guilty.
I just think he just went too far, and yes, all them dudes is guilty. Like, when that stuff, when you 27, 30, like, come on, my guy.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
What the fuck?
I don't understand it, but I've always, growing up, it's sugar daddies and shit like that. Like, I got cousins, girl cousins and shit that niggas was dropping off food for us to eat and money. Yeah, that's what's up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So to change it up a little bit, but not so much. Mike Tyson went to jail, like, for, y'all think Mike Tyson, you think he was falsely accused? You say you got to pull him off the street like they did R. Kelly. You think he was falsely accused?
I don't know, man. I really
Mike was a different type of dude then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on top of that, for different women, rape is different for different women.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Some women's like, if I say no, you know.
Enforce it.
Manhandle me real quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then that's rape. And the truth it is, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. It's
like, it just depends. I think that woman, I looked it up one time. She's actually an actress, really. I forgot her name.
Yeah.
I think he was married. Was he married to her?
No. That was Robin Givens. Robin Givens said he took it from her.
Okay.
When they was married. Yeah. But the girl that he
Robin
went to,
said it?
Yes. Robin said the nigga was crazy.
Yeah.
And Robin and her mama.
Yeah.
They did a whole bunch of court shit. Lord, I think she might have been in that shit.
When I looked it up, it said Robin was the one who accused him and all that.
But it's a whole nother chick. They said he manhandled and shit like that. And she said he was just.
It's in Indianapolis, wasn't it?
You know, aggressive and she, you know, took it. I think Mike was just a whole nother nigga. Then you taking, like you said, somebody that been through trauma, like you said, R. Kelly. You taking somebody that been through trauma as a kid. You know what I'm saying? His best friends was fucking birds. Everybody else, I got to fight. You know what I'm saying? It's like a whole nother mentality when you the youngest motherfucking boxer to win heavyweight title.
You think he's a... So where would you put Mike Tyson in your top five? You put Mike Tyson in your top five?
I don't know, but hold on before we answer that, though. Like, you know, because when he was going through that, he actually met with the minister.
Yep, I remember that.
Minister Farrell.
When he was young?
No, when that whole rape stuff, was going on. And I could just tell you what the minister said. He told him, man, I never raped that woman. And, you know, and said certain things. And the minister just responded so wise. He was just like, yeah, I don't know if you did that neither. However, Mike, you have abused women. You know, and now it's time for you to pay for the things that you have done.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He just happened. That might have just been the last straw with the world, man. You know what I mean? With the divine law. So ain't no telling, though, bro. When it comes to that stuff, though, man. Like, some women lie about that stuff. They over exaggerate. Some men really do jacked up stuff like that.
I'm gonna say this before.
I just say side with the facts. Go ahead.
I think to side with anything, I'm saying, let's go all the way to Bill Cosby. Any woman, you know this man been married for 50 years. He been married his whole career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're coming to the hotel or we're at the hotel, you know what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We're not here for nothing else. And I think that's the same thing that happened with Mike. You know, women probably lured him to the motherfucking hotel.
Yeah.
You know, it's Mike. Hell yeah, he pulling up in a fucking Porsche and a Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Come to my room.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's I don't want to fuck though.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I'm Mike. I'm coked up.
I don't mean you take it though. I don't mean you.
I ain't saying that. I'm just saying a woman can say anything at that point. But my thing is, you know where hotels is made for fucking if you ain't on vacation.
Yeah.
If you call Bill and you see Bill in the club and he's like, cool. Yeah, I'll come back to your room. It ain't nothing. I'm up here. Matter of fact, come to mine. You don't go unless his intentions on fucking with this man.
Mm-hmm. But Bill Cosby, he said it though. He said he drugged him. Like, but that's why they dropped the case though, because they did some illegal stuff.
Nigga,
like,
he already went to the trial and they said you can't come back. Bill was never supposed to be locked up.
He never was.
They unsealed his the affidavit? Not the affidavit. The case was supposed to be sealed. They unsealed it.
All I'm saying is, nigga, the hotel ain't the motherfucking park. Hotel is not. Let's go out to dinner. You know what I'm saying? Granted, if a nigga say I stay at the hotel right now, nigga take advantage of you anywhere. I'm just saying, women gotta think more too. You know, these celebrities.
Yeah, your whereabouts and all that.
They ain't just celebrities. These motherfuckers. You know,
TV.
No means no.
Yeah.
It definitely
we
do.
Rape.
Yeah. No.
So back to the Tyson question: would you put him in your top five all time?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know boxing well enough to even say that. You know. Not no top five, though. You got to kind of You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no top five though.
So who's your greatest, huh? Who's your greatest of all time?
The greatest that like were coming in, you know, that ever did it was Ali.
Yeah.
You know, he was the first one that took that raised the bar so high that it just transformed the boxing realm to really like an untouchable realm. Your training had to be so intensified.
Right.
To even box, man. You know what I'm saying? He raised the bar so high.
And more than fought in the ring. You know, once you start fighting for your people, that's mm-hmm. when, you know, that's when he really start fighting. That's the real fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know,
what you think about him and Malcolm? You know?
They were cool, but nah, I'm going to finish my answer, though. You know, but when it comes to the science of boxing, you know, Mayweather done topped that off.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
And I hate to give it to him, but he just make them pay and make them miss, make them pay. And
right.
You can't name a better boxer. Like, I don't know. At one Marcos Maidana fight, the first one, I think Floyd. I'm like, damn, they gave that to Floyd because
No.
You don't think so?
I think he was beating him up, but
Floyd came back. Exciting. Floyd didn't know how to. I ain't gonna say he did not know how, but it was hard for him to overhand right and left. He couldn't adjust to that fast enough.
Yeah.
Dude knocked his tooth out too.
I ain't gonna lie.
He did.
Floyd. Yeah. He knocked his tooth out.
I didn't know that.
Is it because he's 50-0, or is it just because he's the greatest boxer with them hands and not getting hit?
That's what boxing is. The record is just something
better fights. I've seen better people have better fights than Floyd.
But the thing is, though, look at the landing percentage.
Facts.
Okay. Yeah.
I give you that.
How is it that you're going to... Like, he fought Mayweather. I mean, he fought Pacquiao.
Right.
He threw less punches and had a higher landing percentage than someone who threw more punches.
Yeah, he's surgical with it. Like, time, like...
You know what I'm saying? Like, he went into the game and he's like, this is about points, man. So right. I'm going to get my points. I'm going to do these things. Yeah.
I'm going to play the sport.
So right. You say he's the best ever, the greatest ever?
Bro, he came and took it to the top, man.
Yeah,
That's how he won. He wasn't going in there just brawling.
Yeah. So are you still watching this little exhibiting fight?
If it come on, like, I catch it. On them little ones in Africa, I ain't been watching it. But,
whoever
Yeah, anybody can get it, though.
But see, that's the reason why I put him on top.
Hey, you
I
see how
he picked.
You see how a dude tried to, over in Africa, he tried to fight him after the, he got disqualified.
Yeah. Man. He was like, nah, fuck it.
Mayweather gave him a little two-piece.
You talking about John Gotti, son?
Nah, just this black dude in Africa.
Uh-huh.
The fight, he got disqualified or something like that. He just ran up on Floyd.
Yeah, he was like, nah, I'm still fighting.
Floyd stepped back, gave him a nice little two-piece. Bang, bang. Mm-hmm. He thought he was just playing, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I pull it up. I seen a little brawl with John Gotti. He was fighting John Gotti's son as his nephew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had a little brawl. But that shit's getting like WWE now. Like,
mm-hmm.
some of that.
Yeah, it is. I feel you on that. I mean, it's all hype in the fight. But like, niggas like Tank, he shut that shit up. Like, you doing a bunch for these cameras, nigga. Rolly, I'm going to knock your ass out.
Fuck with Tank. He just got out of jail, man.
Tank just got exposed, though, when he fought Rolly, though.
You think?
He takes some hits, bro. Like, yeah, bro. Like,
Tank is rehydration clause
was some bullshit. I would never agree to that.
See, that's why I can't. People say Floyd is the greatest. I fuck with Floyd. I watch all the Floyd fights. But once you are the top dog and you can create this contract, you can make these niggas lose as much weight as possible so they won't even, when they hit you, that shit ain't nothing. Look at Spence. Spence lost that weight after that car crash, and you got to go up and down on weight and keep fighting. That shit is a toll on some niggas.
That Crawford was a buzzsaw.
Man, they got his ass beat.
Man, that stuff don't matter, bro. They accepted the challenge, bro.
Facts.
But look at the Canelo fight. Canelo was a big white Mexican.
Uh-huh.
Soon as he fought Floyd, I'm like, God damn, this nigga is small as a motherfucker. Floyd made him come all the way down to where I'm at.
But they signed the contract, though. They got it, right?
That's because you want the biggest payout, too. Niggas want that bread. Fuck it. Win or lose, I fought Floyd. But fighting Andre Berto on the way out, we don't want to see that shit.
We didn't.
It don't matter, though, bro. He beat, like he done said, I done beat everybody else you named.
Yeah, he ain't got nobody else to prove, though. Like
He said, man, there's no more good fighters, bro.
Go to the gym and pick niggas.
He said Andre Berto's a C-plus fighter.
Yes. He's robbing the bank. He says it all the time.
He said Pacquiao's an A-.
Man, listen, he didn't fight Pacquiao when Pacquiao was at his best.
He did run from Pacquiao.
As soon as Pacquiao got knocked out, come on, I'll fight you.
No.
But my thing is, though.
That ain't what happened, bro.
Old school boxers was the best boxers.
Bro, he went to Pacquiao to get drug tested, and he declined.
When it wasn't, I pick you, it's who's the next? Mm-hmm. Who's next? When you couldn't pick and choose and duck, the old school fighters was the best. Nigga, if I say, nigga, I'm going to whoop you, nigga, all right, 6 months. 6 months.
It was old, huh?
Look at Ali. Ali lost to Frazier. But Frazier and him and some real niggas, they ride in the car together. Hey, you got to give me another shot. I will. And I'm going to kick your ass.
It's too many weight classes. It's like 15 weight classes. Come on, bro. Like,
and then if you can, and if you're good at losing weight, you can go down and still be strong. Certain niggas lose their power of punching when they, you know, lose weight and hydration clause and shit. It's just crazy. But I would take a payout. I'll do it.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm B Fines. And we're excited to announce our collaboration with Fleur. Together, we are offering a brand new course specifically designed for musicians and artists just like you. This course is packed with viable insight, practical tips to help you grow and succeed in your creative endeavors. And if you use, I'm not going to lie to you, if you use our link to purchase this program, we get a little kickback. So I need you to go check, and the link's going to be in the description, in the comments. Go check that out. Fleur, Big and Lazy, together, putting Louisville on the map. So, you touched on the Nation of Islam. Like, how long have you been Muslim? Like, how long have you been in the Nation?
I've been in the Nation since July 7, 2020, no, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I was always around it, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I ain't really, like, paid no attention, though, growing up. I just was just like, all right, whatever, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you telling me that, too.
But, like, around that time, that's when I decided to write my Savior's letter and make it official.
What's a Savior's letter?
It's a letter that you write. You just copy the letter. But it's stating that you are willing and you want to give up your slave name to serve God and return back to Allah, to serve Allah the best way and the only way that you can. So here's my name. Here's their name back, and I'm going to take on the name X, which represents unknown, because I really don't know my true last name since it's been taken from us and hidden from us over the last 450 plus years. So I'm going to take on the name X, which is a mathematical term that represents the unknown, and I will work for my name. And therefore, my name will represent who I am based off the amount of work that I put in on my life. So that's what happened. And I did that. I didn't know that my father was already given the name Muhammad by Minister Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came on and took on the X was automatically removed because the name just trickles down.
Yeah.
So that's how I got my name Muhammad. Right. Once that happened, so... you know, my dad used to always tell me, though, like, yeah, you know, your name's really Muhammad. I used to just be like, all right. and that was it. I was just like, okay. Like, and just went on and did my thing. I was just like, all right.
What year you think we met?
I was 2007. I keep saying 20, 2007. That's when I moved here.
I've been knowing, bro, for that long. And I remember conversations. I was like, so, because his dad was already cutting my hair. That's your dad's actually who made me want to cut hair as a young nigga. Always packed, always show love. But I mean, I used to ask you about the shit, and you would be like, well, about the religion, and you would be like, man, I don't know. My mama's this, my daddy's that. I'm just, you know, doing my thing.
Right.
You
feel what I'm saying? Just out here.
But I commend, bro, he was young when he did it. And, you know, we gave him a lot of jokes about it and stuff, especially when we didn't understand, but everybody's listening to Farrakhan now. Everybody.
That's crazy.
You know.
Everybody who has something to say.
Yes, some jokes, you know. You know what I'm saying? But this is my brother. We used to joke regardless, before and after. But I commend you because a lot of people don't have nothing to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? As long as you believe in something and you can teach it, you know what I'm saying? But I remember then how you was. What made you make the transition and take on without going to jail and prison and all that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What made you become Muslim?
Man, you know, really, just growing up, man, my dad used to always just tell me things. And, like, you know, how the world is going to be, how it's going to get shaped into pretty much a downfall of America and things like that. And I always just said to myself, like, you know, my dad always told me that, you know, Master Farah Muhammad is God in person. Elijah Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And the minister is the errand to him as well, which scripturally that means that Elijah Muhammad is the Jesus and the Muhammad of the Bible and Quran. And the minister is the errand of that, which is the assistant, but which, you know, as time goes on, they would just transition into those different figures in the scripture. And I just, like, listened to him and just said, okay, did my thing. Then every time he said something, about a year or two later, I would see what he said on the news. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn.
Huh.
Okay. That's all right. All right. And I'm in a whole different state. Like, I'm in Massachusetts. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right. Okay. All right. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then I just, like, okay. Like, I know my dad wouldn't be a part of nothing that didn't make sense. You know what I'm saying?
The truth.
Yeah, it's just like, he don't get down with foolishness like that. You know what I'm saying? Especially for that long. So I just kept it in the back of my mind. Then on top of that, I'm just listening to the doctrine of Christianity, and mathematically it never made no sense to me ever since a little boy. Like, you can't die and float up in the sky. And then they teach you ghosts ain't real, but if you die, a ghost will come out your body and float in the sky. Where there's pearly gates and honey and milk, but everything that they're naming that's supposed to be in the sky is right here on the ground.
But so
how can it get up there?
I've heard Farrakhan say, a good Muslim, but they know Jesus. They know, you know, scripture is real, you know. So how you feel about that?
I think you gotta, like, react that question.
I heard Farrakhan say before, he was like, a good Muslim knows the story of Jesus. They know it's real. They know, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what he touched on about the Christianity, but I know he said, you know, certain scripture. I heard him, he quotes stuff out the Bible all the time. And you feel me? How do you feel about when he does that? Because to me, it feels like it's all leading back to one thing.
Well, you know, like, it's good. It's great that he does that. But that, all that stuff's inside the Quran, too, though.
Right.
Like, Jesus is in the Quran as well, along with
a lot of prophets.
Bible references to go back and forth to compare and contrast, and also to prove the point. You got to remember, or you got to just know, the Holy Quran was only made to checkmate and to correct the Bible in all of its contradictions and the mistakes that was made over a period of time. Yeah, that's why the stories are identical. But the Quran gives you more potency on certain aspects of Jesus' life, Moses' life, and all these other different prophets' life. You know what I'm saying? So if you look at, like with the U.S. Supreme Court, they deem their Supreme Court law and structure based off the law and structure of the Holy Quran. You know what I'm saying? And everything I'm saying, you can Google it right now. Like, it came out like 2011. That's what they do. They're saying the Holy Quran is the best law book that's ever been made. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and it's the best law book that ever been made, but it's telling us the same exact story as the Bible. So how is it not? How come the Bible's not the best, but the Quran is the best? But like I just said, the Quran was made to correct the Bible and all the flaws and mistakes that have been added to it. So there's a lot more potency inside the story. So you get more of the true revelation of Jesus, God, Moses, and all the other prophets inside that same book. So that's why when people go to jail, they come out Muslim.
Yeah.
Because they have a higher understanding of the same story, and it led them back to Islam, which is their natural way of living. You see what I'm saying?
You heard it. So, is that what you preach on your YouTube channel?
Yeah.
I seen you had a YouTube channel with a pretty good following. Like, could you describe your YouTube channel and, like, what they?
Man, I just got that started, man. Well, it's on it for 2-3 years, but I'm just getting it back active. So, on there, I'm really just using that channel to really just teach about finance and teach about nutrition as well, and of course do some, you know, spirit, inspiration, motivation, and spirituality as well. I have to be a little bit careful on that because they be like, you say one thing, like, you don't need, like, today I got an email saying that my stuff got restricted. I'm like, man, I ain't posted in like 5 days. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm being super careful on my joint because I ain't trying, I'm trying to actually use it and stuff like that. So,
is that the truth? They
leave
that shit.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's just, yeah, that's just what it is. So it's just like, all right, but that's pretty much what I'm on there for, is to do those things.
Are you vegan?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, okay. Sir. I thought you was vegan, bro. You do a lot of cooking, bro.
You thought wrong, bro.
And all I see you cook is vegetables, bro.
Yeah, bro. Eat food from the earth. That's what we made out of.
Facts. Mm-hmm. You know? So a lot of fish.
Nah, so you don't eat meat?
I cut back on the fish, though. Yeah. I eat a little fish. I don't eat no land animals or no flying animals neither.
Okay.
No chicken?
Nah.
So when's the last time you had chicken?
Probably like 12 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. So what? Shit, so what, man, do you eat, my brother? Enlighten us on how we should be eating.
You said no plant animals.
Brother, you gotta eat off based off your molecular structure, which is food that will electrify the body. The base of your whole entire body is in electric current. That's how you exist. When you die, the current goes out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When you're alive, when they want to bring you back to life, they pump electricity back in you to bring you back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a current base running through your whole entire body, and all that stuff conducted through water and the blood throughout your system.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to eat foods that's going to nourish those things. It's going to enhance those things with the body. That's going to heal those cells, those damaged and almost dead cells inside of your body too. So the best things to eat, me personally, I'll just tell you what I eat on a regular basis. I always eat me some navy beans. You get a crazy amount of zinc, crazy amount of tryptophan, which is neurotransmitters that have to deal with your behavior. You have more control of your behavior than you deal with. You know, you get calories and stuff, vitamin A, B, and C, and things like that, D. That, of course, all berries are good to eat, all of them, you know. Tons and tons of like cucumbers, tomatoes, salads, onions, garlic, you know, and that's pretty much it. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, I don't have no wide variety. Like, I don't do pumpkin seeds and stuff like that. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and How to Eat to Live, he sat there and said, you don't need to go on and eat all of the things that the earth has to provide for you. Just eat the few simple things and you'll live a long, healthy life like that.
Mm.
You know, he also said you don't need to follow all these different dietitians that these people are coming out with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just,
so how you feel about sea moss?
Sea moss is cool, man, for those who need it. I think that's for those who are really sick. Sea moss broke me out tremendously, bro. I can't even take that stuff, man.
Damn. But then again,
I don't know. I don't say it's that strong, but, like, you know, it's just that, like, you got to think, though, bro. When that stuff was coming out, I was already on this journey for, like, 7 years.
Yeah.
So I don't need 92% of my minerals to be replenished. My stuff is already pretty good versus someone else who's more sick. So me personally, I just didn't need it. I don't think I still don't need it.
Yeah.
You know, all I need to do is just continue what I'm doing, eating food directly out of the ground, and every 30 or 45 days or so, fast. Don't eat no foods at all. Just drink water.
How long you fast for? Like, on average?
I kind of need to pick back up on my fasting, though. But normally it'd be like 2.5 days, 2 full days.
Mm-hmm.
Basically 3 days when you really want to get technical with it.
Mm-hmm.
Then just get back on it. But that right there, that rejuvenates your immune system, your tissues, your cells. They're rejuvenated, they're well rested, along with your organs, and it brings back a lot of life to your whole entire, your non-nervous system. So now you're functioning like a newer person because you saved the functionality of all of your organs and your cells and your blood vessels as well. They just all took like a mini vacation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just repaired themselves.
That's, you think, right. Kevin Gates fasted for 42 days? He said he fasted for water for 42 days.
I mean, he probably, if he said he did, he did it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I never heard him say it, though, but if he said he did, I ain't gonna say he lied.
Right.
You know, but I'm pretty sure he was taking some type of like minerals and vitamins and stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Now, he said straight water for 42. I don't know.
I'm saying you could take like some herbs and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I'm saying, like, that's so in like a powder form.
Where do you shop?
What you mean? Like groceries?
Yes, because it's all about information.
Brother, I just go to Whole Foods, man. I need to find that. And that's because I live here. If I lived in it somewhere else, I go to, you know, straight to the source, a farmer's market or a farmer himself.
Yeah.
You know, just the other day, a friend of mine, Naya, came. She grow food in her backyard. She brought me like 2-3 baskets of what, like little handheld like veggies and you know stuff like that, fruits and stuff like that. So I hit that for, I still got them too. I gotta make me a bowl of soup. So, but yeah, I just go to Whole Foods, man. Just try to get the organic stuff, and just roll with it like that.
That's what's up. That's what's up, man. So, how do you feel? How do you feel about the state of our youth right now, with the music, the influence, with the with social media? Like, what would you do to build up our people and bring us back? What is your plan? Because I know I ain't gonna say what would you do. What is your plan,
brother? My first initial plan is to be a example. That's my first initial plan. So of course I have to get myself in order and make things progressive and productive and attractive as well for myself first. Because I can't just go out talking a whole bunch of stuff. You know, we've been getting talked to for years, decades. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to put forth some action with what we have been saying all these times. Man, the best thing that, or a plan, I would say, of course, is being an example. Then on top of that, man, just get out there and just teach, man. Mm-hmm. You know, teach, explain, inspire, motivate, tell people, get people situated with the scripture, get people situated with knowledge, get people situated with finances as best as I could. Mm-hmm. I can only offer what I have inside of me. I can't just be talking about, you know, hieroglyphics inside Egypt. That's just not my skill set. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I would like to go and check it out and get involved, but right now I need to establish a few things for myself. Mm-hmm. So that's really my main plan, is just to go ahead and just do that, get involved with that, and just grow in that area. Because when you go to youth nowadays, everything's so fast, you have to appeal to them.
Right.
You know, you can't, we're not living in the time of just saying things. We're living in the time of doing things. We're living in a time of information right now. Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Your son and my daughter, they're the same age. They're 9 years old, and you got a younger one like five. But guess what? They could hop on your phone, go to Google, look up what time the movies start, look up in the future. They can go in there and book some airlines and all. You can show them how to do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling
you. Real quick. You know what I mean?
We had to find a newspaper. You go up there and see what time to start.
Right, man.
We had to look at the newspaper. Yeah, time to change, man.
Hey, all
man.
That stuff. So you know what I'm saying? Like the children now, they have access to way more information. At an early age. So now it's the time to just get up, quit all the talking, all the negotiating, all the, I need to feel if it's right. I need to wait for the perfect moment. Look, man. The perfect moment is never going to come.
Never.
Ever. If you it's never it, going it to happen. You're going to be about 80% right every time. So take your chances.
Like you said, you got to be the part. Like Busta Rhymes, he won the Lifetime Achievement Award. And like he, like you said, how can we talk to the young G's if the old G's ain't looking the part? Like, how are you going to give me some advice? And obviously, it ain't work from you because he got a Cuban link. I don't know. It was about that big around. So he's like, yeah, you know, tug on his chain a little. Like, how are we going to tell you, do this, do this? And like, obviously, it didn't work for you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think it's always been that way. That's why a kid can be super smart and go to school every day and have a bright future. But when he see the neighborhood and he's like, man, he got the car, the clothes, the girls. You know what I'm saying? If he ain't teaching you, hey, turn around, go back to school. This shit ain't nothing. Right. If he's showing you, this is how I get it. That's where you get stirred. The peer pressure.
You got old heads and you got OGs. The OGs gonna give you some game. Old heads gonna have you crash out in that brick wall and take some old hate and stuff.
He gonna run the game on you. You know, I think that's a lot what's going on with the youth too.
You think they should teach religion in school?
It's touchy because you have so many different religions. I think if they teach it in a way that everybody can understand, but it's. Just see how much lies they taught us. I'd much rather learn about real estate, paying rent, shit. You know what I'm saying? Just simple shit, taxes.
How to balance a checkbook.
A checkbook. How to keep your credit score right from once you graduate and have to use your credit. You know what I'm saying? Get out here in the world. They teach us about Christopher Columbus, and said he was a good nigga.
You can't say nigga though, bro. You gotta
my fault.
Retract that.
Said he was a good man.
Yeah,
you know, a good person.
But he actually committed genocide.
Yeah, and had slaves.
You know what I'm saying?
He had slaves. I didn't know that. Man. I'm pretty sure it was a slave or two on that boat.
Well, hold on. I mean,
I don't know if he had.
Yeah, I don't know if he had slaves.
But I know he committed genocide. He went place to place saying, oh, I found this, even though it was people that are laying there.
Yeah, slaughtered them all.
They say he didn't even know about having quilts and coats and shit like that. He had to go. But you know who was driving them around? It was a black dude.
Yeah, yeah.
So, not to get off topic, which one is more important? Would you rather have 100,000 or 850 credit score?
Say it again.
Would you rather have 100,000 or 850 credit score?
I think I'd rather have a 850 credit score.
Man, it just depends. It just depends with that 850, though.
Right now, though, I take the 100.
Yeah, I'm saying you can give me the 100,000. You know, we could use that as collateral. And,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But an 850?
I can get my credit score
but the 850. But I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. You with the 100, that's what I'm saying. With the 100 grand, you can do some things. You put 5, 10, make your stuff nice.
Yeah.
And now you up 80 or 90, and then you got, you know, the 850 credit score coming in and making it happen. You know what I'm saying? So, like with me, I'll just pay some of my debt down.
Like
just credit card debt. Just knock that down.
Yeah.
That's all I really need down. It ain't high, but it can go down, though.
So, like, what is one credit, before we get out of here, like, what is one credit hack, like, that people should know, like, that you learn that's, like, almost life-changing, like?
Man, credit hack, man, that's always probably going to work, man. Man, look, though, bro, you should always go, whenever you go to, I'll tell you something, look, this is a good one. Go to, look up all of the websites where they hold your information.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is called like LexisNexis. Go to websites like that and choose to opt out of that website, right?
Uh-huh.
Then there's like 7 different ones. I don't know all the names. They're in my email somewhere. Then do that, right? So whenever you go to validate your hard inquiries or collections or anything like that to dispute them, when you go to credit bureaus and they want to get them disputed, they're going to go check those data sites, right?
Yeah.
However, when they go check them, your stuff is going to be gone because you opt out. So they're going to come back unverified, you know, of that stuff. That's one way you can get those collections and things off like that. Of course, you can like, you know, well, you said one, but you know, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Give us another one. Double it up. You know,
man,
what I mean?
You know, there's a couple ways, man. You can just one way that's always a good way is call somebody who you know who has some good credit card history, not good credit card history. Mm-hmm. Ask them, can you become an authorized user? Make sure you tell them, hey, look, you keep the card, you keep the info. Don't give me none of that stuff because a lot of people be skeptical, man. Like, you about to just steal all their stuff. It's like, man, I just need some help, man. Become an authorized user. Get about 2 authorized users on there,
uh-huh,
and your score should go up a nice amount.
It is a hack because I got my mama together like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she was, you know, bouncing and used my piggybacked on my stuff.
Yeah.
Add her to like my Walmart and my Capital One. And, you know, she's up right now.
Go ahead and add me to yours then. I need a little boost. I'm for real. I ain't playing, bro.
Oh, okay. We can work, man. Man. We can work because I got your information. I'm definitely, because I'm trying to get back into, I had a little rental property for a second.
Uh huh.
But I'm trying to get back into that, you know.
Where is it at? It's gone? You sold it?
Yeah, I sold it.
Oh, I got. Why you do it?
I don't know.
You know why? Man. Yeah, why you do it?
I mean,
you know
why, man.
Come
work,
on,
though.
Come on.
You got some property. You got to put it to work.
Yeah.
You ain't really putting it to
work. So I'm trying to find a new approach to an old dream. You know what I mean? Not to sound cliche. So
I think that's what's the biggest downfall to some people, though, thinking it's too late. It's never too late. It didn't work. You know what I mean?
As long as you got air in your lungs and you wake up, it ain't never too late. Never too late to change.
It ain't never too late. It's all about your desire. You got to have desire to go ahead and accomplish those things. You know, desire feeds the will.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know, and the will is the, you know, the driving force to accomplish whatever is inside of your heart.
Yeah.
But if you ain't got no desire, man, how can you do it?
Man, if you ain't got the work ethic, you can have all the talent in the world. If you ain't got the work ethic, desire to go up and get it, mm-hmm, it's pointless, dog. Like, that's one of my biggest, I ain't gonna say flaws, but yeah, my work ethic ain't what it should be. But I'm just getting better. Like, you know, I look back, you know, at my 20s, you know, I could do a lot of shit different.
Mm-hmm. One way to do that, though, to help with that, bro, just get you a little schedule and just stay consistent to that.
Mm-hmm.
Do that for a week. Then, like, write it down, like, step by step. I'm going to do this for 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 80 minutes, whatever. Do that. Then, you know, just be consistent. Then the next week, add 2 more things on there, two more to-do things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How did you stay motivated?
We're doing that.
And discipline with your way you eat, with, you know.
Man, I just call people and talk to them, bro. That's like a nice form of therapy, bro. Like I call
and
just
tell you do that shit.
And just and I like, bro. Like if Dominique was still here, he would tell you like the reason why he even like decided to like be cool with me for so long was because like I would literally just come over his house just to talk.
Right.
Like I need.
You always been like
that. Yeah, that's just how I was. Like I ain't ever like, but like on the East Coast, that's how it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like we would literally be talking for hours.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At a young age, like it's just the thing. Like it's a talkative part of the country. You know what I'm saying?
If I don't hear from you, you'll call and little bro, little be like, how you doing? What you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Boop, 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 boop. And we'll kind of be sitting there for a second, like, shit, you good? Yeah, I'm good. Shit, I can tell it's just when niggas don't call you just to ask for shit. And I'm gonna tell you something. This is my nigga. I used to call this nigga for shit all the time. But I'm gonna walk with you. I'm gonna talk with you. And we gotta hop on this tart. You know.
Yeah.
You know, to go on a mission is what's up. And when you see your brothers doing peaceful shit, man, niggas need to take heed, man. Mm-hmm. I ain't saying that everybody gotta be the same, but this life is short. Mm-hmm. You feel me? I always call bro, ask him for some information. You know, he hit me up on some shit too, but bro really be on some new information shit, and I can tell he just wants you to fucking hear it. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Feed your brother like you feed just your kids, man. You feel me?
Because
if you don't do it, you know, life is short. Like I said, life is super short.
Yeah.
But
y'all on borrowed time.
Before we get out of here, though, now, are you big on cryptocurrencies?
No, I'm not big on.
You're not. I don't know. I put a little $5 here and there. Like,
did you ever bounce on something? Like, you ever get some money off the crypto?
Yeah, I came up off that, man. I came up nice a few thousand. You know.
Damn. What a crypto was it? Doge.
I think it was that Doge. Then
I never understood that shit.
Man, it's just like an investment. I didn't understand either. I just knew people was winning. You know what I'm saying? I got a nice little like four bands.
Shout out to PPP loans.
Yeah, I think it was like a nice 4,000.
And shout out to our sponsor. Before we get out of here, I missed the beginning. Shout out to our sponsor, Viltrio, man. It's a local clothing brand. I tour love on Instagram. You can follow that on Instagram.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, we ask all our guests. You got to give us something big. Something to watch and lazy. Well, flipped it around. Something good to watch, something good to eat.
Oh, man, that was a good one. Man, you said something good to watch. Man, damn.
Anything, YouTube, streams.
Pertaining to what, though?
Anything that what you're watching like, right now. You might like be watching, watch? You know.
Man, first thing, watch me. You know, Instagram, Mark Muhammad Jr., Facebook, Brother Mark Muhammad Jr. Mm-hmm. YouTube, Brother Mark Muhammad Jr.
Uh-huh.
That's the first thing. Man, if I was you, or if I was y'all, I would go look at Savior's Day of 2023.
What's that about?
By Louis Farrakhan.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's a good one. I would go look at one like Save the Black Family, 1991. Louis Farrakhan.
Okay.
I'll go check out High Level Conversations with Yaki Awaken.
Okay. And he's all on YouTube?
Yeah, they all on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll go check that out. I'll go check out also a few things on the credit tip, man. I like the YouTube channel Credit Plug.
Okay, I'm gonna check out Credit Plug.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Credit Plug.
Yeah, I like them, and really just anybody who's on those things.
Information.
You can check out my boy Ty Kui. He's a TF. What's his name's Verbiage on Instagram. He's an artist I'm working with. As far as checking them out, some things to eat though, brother man. It's not really just that. I'm gonna give you two on the thing.
All places. Favorite restaurant.
Yeah,
I don't go out to eat that much. I know them to go to a spot called Valier. I'm about to head there here shortly, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Valier, maybe like J. Alexander's Cheesecake Factory. That's probably really about it, though, man. I know I'm going to just be at the house with it. Mm-hmm. But some things not to eat, That's one of McGee's. Some things not to eat. Damn, okay. Sure, let that pig go for sure.
Damn, all, niggas can't eat chitlins.
Nah, come on, bro. That's, damn, come on, that's a damn.
Bacon is the only.
Let
thing.
Me ask you this though: like, if you had a bag of poop with diarrhea, would you pour that on top of your chicken wing for sauce?
Nah,
so wouldn't do that. So why would you eat the container that holds that?
I don't know. I guess it's
tradition. Hold on. You can't say I don't know. Yeah. You do it all the time. You got a reason. Why would you do that?
They good to them.
No, it's not. Like, it's the seasoning and the sauces that, but like, why would you do that though? And you have knowledge now. We're talking about receiving knowledge.
You got to stop eating that slave food, huh?
I mean, all that. You got to let the pig go, bro. That's first things first. Then after that, let these other land and sea creatures go too.
Yeah,
you know which ones, saying? Man? Because I all love
of
chicken.
Them. All of you got to let the chicken go because the chicken's just as filthy as the pig.
It is just as worse as the pig.
You got to let the pig. You got to let the cow go because they're not like it's not how it was 50 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
You got to look at what they're adding and injecting and how they're treating the cows, bro.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. The animals and the chickens and things like that. They're injecting these people. They couldn't hold. They're cutting a hole in the rib of the cow just so they can stick their hand in there and see what's going on.
I seen that, you know, and it blew my goddamn mind, bro.
They're forcing the... You wonder how milk was created now?
Milk?
Milk out of the cow. The processed milk in the store. They're injecting fake sperm inside of the cow to trick it into pregnancy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that.
Then they put the machine up to it, and they just... That's what they do, bro.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm never drinking.
That's why them cows is getting sick. They're getting pregnant, supposedly pregnant, too many times in 1 year.
R.I.P. cereal, because I don't drink almond milk.
Now you can get you some raw cow milk. That's a better source for you.
I don't know where to find it, but listen.
Go to Rainbow Blossom on Charlestown Road, bro. Okay. Albany, Indiana.
Thank you for turning us on.
There you go.
Now, we love chopping. This is probably the most interesting guest we've had.
We got more. Shout out to
my brother, Mark Muhammad. Shout out to Mark.
Are you coming back? You said we got more. We coming back?
Come back.
Definitely got to come back.
Yeah. Give us some more of that game.
We appreciate you coming on and fucking with us, bro.
Yeah.
We love you. Thank y'all for the support.
Yeah.
Shout out B. Haywood. We out, man.
Peace, y'all.
Big Lace.
Self-made, nigga making self-made niggas, yeah. I keep having flashbacks when I was short in them quarters. Grinding all night and I got caught in the morning. My first 40 was a Taurus before I recorded the chords. My first form was a Porsche, my first job was a florist. Got back off that mid, I was taxing the course. Price break on the X when I get back from Detroit. Lito.
Hey, B. Haywood, Confirmed Podcast Network. Thank you for all the continued support. Continue to check out We Them Girls podcast as well as Big and Lazy podcast on the Confirmed Podcast Network. We love you. Thank you for the support and keep on listening. We got more content coming for y'all. Thank you.
Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirmed Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirmed and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirmed.